Thanksgiving's coming up, and hopefully you've got some food ideas already, whether you're hosting or bringing something to dinner. And if not, we've got you covered today. We're speaking with food writer Nikki Davis about some of her favorite recipes, and farmers throughout the state will tell us what they're growing. Plus, we'll delve into some family traditions and memories that go far beyond the usual turkey and stuffing. Armando Sandoval remembers some of his first Thanksgivings, and turkey was definitely not the main attraction.
There's a lot of memories that I have where turkey was a smaller part of our tradition, and they would make tamales for the whole day, or they would make pozole. So it was a little bit different. We're trying to fuse both of our traditions together. For us, it was very new.
If you have family traditions of your own, we'd love to hear it. Give us a call at 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-9455. That's all coming up this hour on the 21st. Stay tuned. Welcome to the 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. I hope you're looking forward to time with family, friends, and food for this Thanksgiving. We are exactly a week away. Are you ready with all of your meal planning? All this hour, we've got lots of recipes and ideas. Plus, we're going to be speaking with a turkey farmer and hear about how many Americans bring food traditions from other cultures to celebrate. First, we're starting with Nikki Davis. She's back with us to offer her food tips. She writes the taste column for the Southern newspaper and has her own website called Rooted in Food. She also teaches hospitality and tourism administration at Southern Illinois University and is on the line now from Carbondale. Hi, Nikki. Welcome back to the 21st. Happy Thanksgiving.
Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, thanks for making it in. I know you guys probably had a lot, just as much snow down there as we did here. And I know the snow is headed to Chicago as we speak. So snow all over the state to get everybody in the holiday mood. If you are listening and if you want to have a few questions about how to cook a turkey, or if you want to share your favorite sides or your turkey methods, please call us. Our phone number is 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-9455. You can also tweet us questions and ideas at 21STShow. Nikki, the turkey's obviously the centerpiece for most people's Thanksgiving meal, but that's maybe, I'm not sure if that's why there's so much anxiety around it. And I think before I cooked my first turkey, which was only a couple of years ago, I was a little freaked out about it. But can we talk about the prepping that needs to happen now, especially if you're getting a frozen turkey, how to defrost it safely?
Absolutely. I think there is some anxiety around turkeys because we only cook them typically at Thanksgiving. So it's not a bird that we're really familiar with. And certainly for first-time Thanksgiving meal hosts, there can be a lot of anxiety around that. But there doesn't have to be if you know a handful of simple tips. Frozen turkeys, you need a lot of time in the refrigerator to thaw those. So don't try to buy one the day before Thanksgiving and think you'll be able to cook it the next morning. Up to 4 to 5 days, typically, to thaw a larger bird in the refrigerator safely. And typically, if you have, you know, a 16 to 20-pound bird, easily a four-day, you know, time set in the refrigerator. But always put it on a baking sheet, so as it is thawing, that baking sheet can collect any moisture, any water that's coming from the bird. But keep everything in its original wrapping. Don't unwrap it until you're ready to cook that bird.
Okay. And I did a couple of years ago when I was talking about my turkey. Actually, I didn't have to defrost it because I had a turkey that had never been frozen, but I did a salt rub, like a salt brine, like a dry brine. How do you feel about those?
I think you're either on school brine or not. So it really depends on the person. I've cooked birds both ways, and if you're roasting it, a brine is wonderful, and it brings some additional flavor, creates a really juicy bird. But if you are frying, for instance, then that's kind of a no-no. So I think it depends on how you want to cook the bird, what kind of flavor you want. You can also inject the bird with various flavors. That kind of came about when we started frying turkeys. When the turkey fryers came about 20 years ago, probably, I bought my first one. But you can inject a turkey or a chicken, for that matter, that you're roasting as well. So that also adds some additional flavor and some juiciness.
I want to ask you about frying a turkey. I want to remind everyone who's listening, if you have your favorite way to cook a turkey, if you want to share your favorite sides, you can give us a call. Our phone number is 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-9455 if you have strong feelings about brine or frying. Nikki, I've frying freaks me. That scares me. I just feel like that's like a recipe for, I think this is the journalist in me, because I always think of news disaster stories of somebody whose fryer blows up in their face or something like that. How can we do this safely?
Yeah, you have to be safe and you have to prepare just like roasting. A couple of tips. Give yourself time to prepare, and if it's your first time frying a turkey, make sure that you know exactly what the process is. Frying happens a lot faster. Your bird's going to cook a lot faster, so that is a huge benefit. And I've roasted and I've fried, and I'm kind of on team fry personally. But I think it comes out, the skin's crispier, and it comes out a little bit moister, the meat itself does, and you can inject it and all of that. A couple of tips, though. Make sure you have enough oil, but not too much oil, in the pot that you're using to fry. Make sure you're doing it outside. Don't try to do this in your kitchen. There are some, like, chicken fryers you can purchase, but I don't know that there are any residential turkey fryers that are large enough for that.
Can you do it in the garage, or you really need to be doing it outside?
Actually, don't. When we do this, we're out on our front driveway, so we're on concrete. Don't try to do this on your deck. That's a recipe for disaster.
Don't do it on any wooden surfaces, obviously.
No,
right.
Not at all. So on concrete, and preferably not inside the garage. Anything can happen. So if you're out kind of in that open air, that's better. Don't overfill. Measure, and you can do this with water first. So put the bird in, pour water in to measure where that line's going to be, because the last thing you want to do is pour oil all the way to the top. Because once you dunk that bird in, you're going to have oil
spilling out everywhere. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And always, always, always fry a fully thawed, dried, pat it dry turkey. If you try to fry one that's frozen or even partially frozen, again, another recipe for disaster, because that oil is just going to boil over or flow over, I guess. It doesn't boil, but.
We're speaking with Nikki Davis. She writes the Taste column for the Southern newspaper. She also does a Rooted in Food blog. She's based in Carbondale. Nikki, so obviously you cannot fry a partially frozen turkey, but you can cook a partially frozen turkey. I know we were talking about this morning. One of our producers did this last weekend. She lowered the temperature and cooked it longer. Is that good? I don't know what ratio of frozen I didn't ask her specifically how frozen the turkey was.
You can do that safely. And you can actually do that safely with a fully frozen turkey if you just totally forget that you have one in the freezer to thaw. It takes a lot longer, though.
And how long? And I was going to say, what temperature and how long?
Oh, roast it low, about 325, and start at 325. Don't start high and then reduce the oven like we might with a thawed bird. Start low and let it go, but it's easily twice as long as if it were fully thawed. So you're looking at, you know, a 16-pound turkey might take 3 to 3.5 hours to cook, to roast when it's thawed. You're going to easily double that time if you're cooking partially frozen or fully frozen. But it is a safe method to do. So if you just run out of time and that's what you're left with, then it is a safe method.
Okay. And what about stuffing? How do you feel about if you're, again, obviously this does not work if you're frying the turkey, but if you are cooking the turkey, do you stuff the inside? Do you do it separately?
You can stuff the inside. So if you're roasting, you can use stuffing. If you're cooking any other method, frying, grilling, smoking, do not stuff, because those methods are much faster in the cooking process, and you'll end up with a cooked bird and not totally done stuffing. But stuff fully cooked ingredients. Don't try to mix raw sausage and stuffing and raw onions and all of that together and stuff the bird. And allow everything to cook. That's kind of another recipe for disaster. We have a lot of those this morning, because you could introduce bacteria into that stuffing from the turkey. So make sure everything's fully cooked, stuff the turkey, and then cook the turkey from there, and everything should be safe and sound. You can also just create stuffing or dressing as a side dish and not actually stuff the turkey, but it does, you know, add additional flavor and helps keep the bird moist as well.
Our phone number is 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-9455. You can also tweet your questions or ideas to 21STShow. Maybe you want to share your first turkey experience. Or if you have questions, Stephen Urbana has a question. Nikki, he wants to know, what do you recommend cooking for two people? So a Thanksgiving for two.
If you want to go the whole turkey route, the smallest turkey you can find, obviously, is the best bet there. if you don't mind kind of deviating from that tradition, you can do Cornish game hens and get one per person, and you still you have kind of the look of the turkey without the whole turkey.
You can even stuff a Cornish game hen.
Sure, absolutely.
It's a tiny amount of stuffing, but you could do it.
Well, but you still have that feeling and that atmosphere because it's the whole bird, just certainly much smaller. Or if you are okay kind of deviating from that whole bird idea, a turkey breast, a small turkey breast that will feed, you know, 2 to 4 people, then you have what you need for yourself and your partner, your guest, and a little bit of leftover still as well. So, again, it kind of depends on what you want to do, what kind of atmosphere you want to present. But those would be the two things I would look at first.
So we've been talking so much about turkey. Let's move on to the sides, because I think for a lot of people, this is a time of year where you're seeing all of the, I love the think pieces about how everyone really cares more about the sides than turkey.
But
I wonder what you're, and I feel like family traditions about sides are really hard to deviate from. People, at least in my family, people get very upset if it's another, the standards are not on the table, including the kind of stuffing that we have to have. So what are your favorite sides?
All of them. I'm not picky, but my family was very much that way, and we fixed the same thing year after year because my grandpa and my father wanted the same thing on the table year after year. But then when you try to introduce a significant other into that mix, everything kind of goes out the window because you have to create new food and new traditions. But my favorite, I'll have to say my favorite are the mashed sweet potatoes with marshmallow topping.
Mashed sweet potatoes. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we mash ours. You don't have to. It's just.
But do you put it? So I mean, sweet potatoes are so moist. When you then do you not? Do you add anything in there? Do you add butter or anything into mash it?
Butter and either brown sugar or honey, molasses, anything like that, for that flavor, and some cinnamon.
Mm.
And then the marshmallows on top. Yeah. So
do you toast the marshmallows on top then, or do you just put?
Yeah, you can stick
raw marshmallows
on top and toast the top of the marshmallows. Yeah, absolutely. My husband, however, does not like that, so I have to make mashed potatoes as well.
Regular mashed potatoes. Yeah, people are very, and we haven't even gotten to gravy. 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-9455. Hopefully the snow has got you in the holiday mood. Let's go to James from Rochester, just outside Springfield. Hey, James, welcome to the 21st. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you guys. I started off with one question. Now I have two.
Okay.
I cook, I normally roast a turkey inside the house. This year I'm roasting a small turkey. So my first question is, what is the ideal temperature to cook the turkey to? And I have a second question. I also am planning this year to smoke a turkey out of, or a smaller turkey breast out on the grill. And what temperature should I roast that to?
Oh, great. Nikki, thanks for that, James.
That smoked turkey sounds amazing. Roasting, you want to roast at 325 degrees until the inside of the turkey is at 165 degrees. That's the safest temperature, and that's the USDA recommendation is the 165 on any poultry, really, not just turkey. Same 165 degrees for a smoked turkey as well. The smoking process won't take as long. Well, actually, it, depending on the size of the bird and how you do that, it might take about the same amount of time. But either way, roasting, smoking, grilling even 165 degrees internally.
So if you're grilling or smoking, Nikki, you need to make sure you have a thermometer that will also work. I guess in any kind of setting, any kind of meat thermometer should work if you're grilling or you're smoking or you're sticking it in the oven, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And there are a lot of different types of thermometers out there. I would recommend one that you can actually insert into the skin of in the flesh of the bird itself, so you can, I typically will insert near the thigh until I hit bone, and then I know for sure I'm inside far enough into that bird to make sure the whole bird is cooked to the 165 degrees. Surface thermometers aren't reliable enough, and this is my own personal opinion. I think they're great when you're grilling steak or something like that, but when you're talking about Thanksgiving Day turkey, you want to make sure that internal temperature is on point. You don't want people to walk away sick later. So that 165 degrees, and it's a thereabouts. If it's 164, you'll be okay. But too much lower or too much higher, you're either undercooked or you're going to have a dried out turkey.
We've got a question on Twitter from Daniel. He says it's his first Thanksgiving eating turkey after being a vegetarian for 15 years.
Wow.
I remember the best turkey I had growing up was the one my father grilled. Is this a reasonable route to go? Is this nostalgia? What about an Instant Pot?
It would have to be a very small turkey to fit into an Instant Pot. I think the largest pressure cooker is 8 quarts. So if you have a small bird, I would test to make sure it will fit and have an inch or so of headroom at the top. We can do chickens real easily in large Instant Pots, but that turkey might be questionable. Grilling, absolutely. If you're in a climate, I don't think we're going to be able to grill in Carbondale next week.
I don't think we're going to be able to grill anywhere in Illinois, but some people like to grill in cold weather. So.
This is true, but if you're in a climate where that will work, certainly, it's about 15 minutes per pound to grill if you're going to go that route.
Okay. So Nikki, we're almost out of time. Final advice for first-time cooks or even for people who do this every year?
I think certainly for first-time cooks, pre-planning is the key. And for anybody who is hosting Thanksgiving meal, don't stress out over it. At the end of the day, it's about being with your friends and your family, having fun, drink some wine if you want to, and don't stress about the meal.
That's Nikki Davis. She writes for The Southern and Rooted in Foods blog. She also teaches hospitality and tourism administration at SIU in Carbondale. Nikki's been writing about her tips for the season. We will tweet out some of her articles that she's done for The Southern. Coming up, we are going to be talking more about vegetables. We've got a turkey farmer joining us. We are going to be talking about wheat and flour and vegetables, and we want to hear from you. Keep the calls coming, 1-800-222-9455. You can also tweet to 21ST Show. Thanks, Nikki.
Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you. Thanks.
Support for the 21st comes from University of Illinois Press, hosting the Association of University Press's annual book, jacket, and journal show in the Link Gallery at the School of Art and Design, November 5th through the 16th. University of Illinois Press, celebrating 100 years.
Welcome back to our Thanksgiving edition of the 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. We will not be on the air next Thursday. We will be enjoying our holiday with our family and friends, and we want you to have a great holiday too. So we're talking about getting ready for the big meal next week. You cannot have a good meal without great ingredients. So with me now are some farmers from across Illinois and the Midwest who bring us many of the foods we'll have on our table. Harold Wilkin is the owner of Janie's Farm Organics in Danforth, Illinois. We first met him in Bloomington at Greentop Grocery, and he's here with me at our studio in Urbana. Also with us in studio is Tracy Barkley from Sola Gratia Farm, vegetable farm in Urbana. We first had her on, I think, maybe at the Champaign Farmers Market. On the phone from Cannon Falls, Minnesota is John Peterson. He's the owner of the family-run turkey farm Ferndale Market. All of you, welcome back to the 21st, and maybe I am the first to wish you happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Happy to be on, Nyla.
Great. Tracy, before we get to what you're growing for this time of year at Thanksgiving, can you tell us a little bit about Sola Gratia?
Sure. We are a small vegetable farm in southeast Urbana. We were started by St. Matthew Lutheran Church to address food insecurity in our community. We grow about 50 different kinds of vegetables and run a CSA, sell at Common Ground Food Co-op, and are at 2 farmers markets.
And I think a lot of people this time of year, Tracy, are thinking about their neighbors or other friends who might be in need across the community and thinking about Thanksgiving baskets. You have an interesting shared Thanksgiving program that you all offer, right?
That's right. So Thanksgiving is a time when friends, family, neighbors come together and celebrate and give thanks for the bounty of the year. And fortunately, in our community, we have about 1 in 5 people that are have limited food dollars, so we share our bounty of the farm through public health, Champaign-Urbana Public Health District, and make Thanksgiving shares available for donation to families in need in our community. We also offer some of our vegetables in the lobby of public health, and that'll be open next Tuesday and Wednesday between 8 and 4. So for people with limited food dollars that want to put some more vegetables on their plates for Thanksgiving, they can go in to get some of our fresh vegetables from there.
And Harold, I want to eventually get to, I'm excited to talk to you about some of your baking recipes for Thanksgiving. I wonder if you can tell us about your mill at Janie's Farm. It's actually a new mill, but it's based on, is it based on centuries-old Danish mill technology?
Yes. We have two stone mills, 36-inch mills, and we actually went all the way out to Oregon and talked to the people who were using them. And we decided that that was the technology that we wanted to use. So our mills and our sifters come from Denmark.
And how does that technology, how does that make a difference than, I guess, the normal milling process that we think about?
Well, most of the flour that you can buy in the grocery store is roller milled, and then it's separated out. So the bran is gone, the germ is gone, and you basically have the endosperm. Then they mix back whatever their process is. But it's a flour that has a really long shelf life. There's not a lot of the oils and the minerals and the vitamins in it that are in our flours that have everything in them.
Interesting. And you weren't always an organic farmer, Harold, right? Why did you make the change?
There were a lot of things came together, but I had been looking at organic farming. I was a conventional farmer for 23 years and then made the switch in 2003. And there was just a lot of things came together, but I'd always been looking at it, and I had an opportunity to transition some land for a neighbor and realize that's what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. So now my son and my nephew farm with me, and we have about 25 to 2,600 acres.
That's Harold Wilkin. He's telling us about Janie's Farm Organics in Danforth. John, your turkey farm is also a family-run operation. It's been so since 1939. I wonder how things have changed in the time that your family has been farming turkeys.
Well, you are right. I am the third generation of my family to be here and live and work on our farm. And you're, like you said, we've been doing it for almost 80 years now. And actually, I think a lot of our story is rooted in how little has changed during that time, because we still use the same practices that my grandparents got us started with. Our birds are still outdoors. In the poultry world, that's called free range. So when the weather allows, they're outdoors running around on green grass. We don't use any antibiotics or growth promotants in the raising of our turkey, and we remain an independent family farm. So although a lot has changed in the world in those subsequent 80 years, surprisingly little has changed here on our farm.
And so I think the terminology that we use is probably some of the terminology that it's probably some of actually what your grandparents were doing. And I'm thinking about like free range or heritage. But can you remind us of what I think sometimes, especially this time of year, people are looking at prices or they're thinking about the cost difference between an organic turkey versus a free range turkey versus a heritage breed. Can you explain all of those terms for us, John?
We might need a whole show to explain all of them, but I'll do my best. You know, in the meat world, there is tremendous confusion about labeling. And, you know, this goes beyond turkeys and certainly goes beyond Thanksgiving. I think there are a lot of claims that may not mean a whole lot. And consumers have a hard time knowing, you know, which to put any stock in. So, you know, I'll tell you from the standpoint of our program, we have USDA approval for the label claims or the points of difference in the way that we grow our birds. And, you know, I mentioned free range. We follow the organic protocol for outdoor access, meaning that our birds are out on lush green grass, you know, anytime that the weather allows. It's not the big barn, small door kind of thing that consumers may have heard about. And likewise with our Raised Without Antibiotics program, it's a start to finish, no antibiotics or anything to speed their growth. So our birds are able to grow indoors and outdoors at nature's pace. But you're right, you know, we'll certainly see a lot of, you know, cheap discount turkeys, you know, in the frozen meat aisle at Thanksgiving. And I think it's important for consumers to think about the values that they're bringing to the Thanksgiving table and to seek out a turkey that aligns with the way they would want it to have been grown.
What kind of turkeys do you raise?
Ours are broad-breasted whites, which is the breed most commonly grown today. And we're oftentimes asked about heritage breeds, and we've certainly looked into it. One of the challenges for us is that the broad-breasted white, of course, yields more breast meat, and most consumers today are still looking for a lot of white meat. And so in terms of the makeup of the bird, that tends to align best with what our consumers are asking us for.
That's John Peterson, who's on the phone with us from Cannon Falls, Minnesota, telling us about his family farm. Speaking of heritage, Harold, what kind of grains are you, when you're thinking about the kind of grains you're growing and milling, are some of those heritage grains that you're looking at?
We specifically use one called Turkey Red, which came over with the Mennonites in the 1800s from Asia and Europe. And so I drove out to Colorado a few years ago, got the seed from the Stevens family, and we use the Turkey Red. It's mainly used in baking bread.
Is this a wheat then? Or
yeah, Turkey Red wheat.
Okay. And are most of the wheat that we see, as we're talking to, John was just talking about sort of the difference between lots of products that exist in the store, kind of your average whole wheat or wheat flour that you buy in the store, is that, that's obviously not a heritage breed?
No, those are higher yielding varieties that have been developed over the last few years. And not that they're bad. They actually have good baking qualities. Some people like to use heritage varieties to mix in with like the store-bought and flour kind of as a taste additive.
And there's also, I know there's this research is new and growing, but also about whether people who have gluten intolerances, how they handle heritage breeds, heritage wheat, right?
Well, what we've found by working with large-scale bakers in the Chicagoland area is it's more about the fermentation process. So if you use a quick, like a quick yeast bread, has more tendencies to cause gluten intolerance. Maybe not celiac, but irritable bowel, whatever. But anyway, but using a long chain, what they call long chain fermentation, where it's either left overnight or 6 hours or whatever, people tolerate that a lot better. And it has to do with the way the gluten breaks down.
Interesting. That's Harold Wilkin with Janie's Farm Organic. Tracy Barkley is with us as well with Sola Gratia Farm. Tracy, what's in season now? I kind of feel like I know this is the end. I saw you at the Champagne Farmers Market for the last outdoor Champagne Farmers Market of the season. And we were chatting a little bit about what's left this time of year. What is in season now? You have a greenhouse, right?
Right, so we have a greenhouse where we start all of our seeds. Right now what we have growing fresh is in our high tunnel hoop house. So we have solid mix, arugula, baby kale, mustard greens, some spinach. And then just this last week we harvested pretty much everything out of the field. This is a little earlier than it was last year. Last year we were harvesting up
last
until,
year was not snowing at this
oh
time
my gosh.
Of year.
Right. We were still harvesting from the field in early December. So we pushed pretty hard to get a lot out of the field this last week and have things in storage now. So we have lots of roots like carrots, beets, turnips, radishes. We have cabbage, lots of Brussels sprouts, kale and collards. There's still a lot that's just come out of the fields that we had at market this last weekend, and we'll go into our Thanksgiving shares this week.
Well, so let's talk about recipes. Tracy, what's your favorite way to prepare those vegetables? Are there some good recipes that you have that you like to, would you like to share with us?
So I am a less is more sort of cook. I think really if you're getting high quality vegetables, that it doesn't take much to make them really palatable and delicious for most taste preferences. The root vegetables, I think, are the best this year, so especially coming after the frosts and the freezes that we've had. So if you take carrots, beets, turnips, daikon radishes, throw in something usual like fennel or kohlrabi, and just, you know, cut into bite-sized pieces, put a tiny amount of olive oil, a little salt, roast them in the oven, 450 for 15, 20 minutes. Really, that is the highlight of the season, I think. You can add in sage, rosemary, a few other thyme seasonings, but that's an easy one.
And this is the perfect time of year to have these vegetables.
Right. They're colorful. They're tasteful. Everyone enjoys roasted vegetables, I think.
Harold, I think we... Go ahead.
Well, I have to be a cheerleader for the wheat. One of the newer traditions is wheat berry salad, which is just you take the wheat, soak it down overnight or for a couple hours, and then mix those root vegetables with the berries, and it makes a great salad. And so, you know, that's kind of a newer trendy thing that's coming along.
I wanted to ask you, Harold, about baked goods, and I'm thinking about. I'm very excited. My 7-year-old niece she's an expert baker, and she's making her favorite rolls for us. But I wonder what kind of things we like to think about with flour for, maybe even not necessarily for the Thanksgiving meal, but for the day after, as people are thinking about entertaining family for a couple of days.
Sure. Well, of course, in our family, the cinnamon rolls are a hit. And, you know, for that, we use an all-purpose flour or a pastry flour that we call Des Plaines. All of our flours are named after rivers in Illinois. So we have Des Plaines, Mackinac, Chicago. We're working on in Illinois, but, you know, we haven't found anything with consistency for that. But if people are bread bakers, the sourdoughs, there's nothing like a fresh loaf of bread with some honey and a little bit of butter.
And, yeah, that's a great Thanksgiving morning breakfast, especially if you want to wake up to smelling bread baking. When we're thinking about Harold, where can people find your products?
Well, in Bloomington, we're in Common Ground and in Green Top Grocery. Here, we're starting to work with Harvest Market, where you have flour.
Oh, so Common Ground here. So Common Ground in Urbana, the co-op.
Right, but we're working with Common Ground in downtown Bloomington.
Oh, okay.
There's a Common Ground.
Oh, there's a Common Ground there.
Yes.
And Green Top as well, right?
Right.
Okay.
And then here we're working with Harvest Market. And then also we have online orders. People can go to our website, which is themill@janiesfarm.com. And there's recipes and there's flour for sale as well.
Tracy, what about you with your vegetables? This time of year, where are you guys?
So we do have some items in Common Ground Food Co-op here in town. Right now we're selling our Thanksgiving vegetable shares. The deadline for ordering those is today, though. So you can email me at sologradiacsa@gmail.com and order one of those shares, either for yourself or for donation. We also just kicked off our 2019 CSA membership drive. So for people that want to think about the holidays, give the gift of fresh vegetables, either to a loved family member or for a donation. Those can be purchased and ordered now and given at Christmas time for next year.
John, there are a couple locations in Illinois that sell Ferndale turkeys. We will tweet that out. For people who can't make it to those, what do you think they should be looking for when they're buying turkeys?
It's a great question. Well, you know, we have with our offering, we'll have both fresh and frozen turkeys. And, you know, I think a couple things to be aware of. Frozen will typically offer a slightly reduced price point, a little better value. And, you know, again, speaking only about our turkeys, all of our frozen turkeys are flash frozen at our processor from this fall's harvest. So they're not, last year's Thanksgiving turkeys that have been living in a freezer for a year. When it comes to fresh turkeys, a lot of people prefer that both for the convenience, and they do roast a little bit faster because they've never been frozen. They do roast a little bit faster. So I try to stay fairly agnostic on the fresh versus frozen. We think you can get a great bird out of either one. But I would also say, as I mentioned earlier, to be looking for a bird that might be raised either locally or by an independent family farm. That's really the significant point of difference for us, is that we're not a part of the integrated meat world that drives most of our meat production today. So again, I think consumers have a chance to source a turkey with a story and gain a little understanding about how that bird was raised.
Well, thanks all of you for sharing your stories of all of the food that you all grow for us. I want to thank John Peterson, Harold Wilkin with Janie's Farm Organics in Danford, Tracy Barkley with Sola Gratia Farm in Urbana, and John Peterson from Cannon Falls, Minnesota. Thanks, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thanks so much.
The 21st is made possible in part by Krannert Art Museum at the University of Illinois, presenting Between the Buildings, Art from Chicago, and Kennedy Brown, The Special Relationship, on view now at CAM. More information is available at kam.illinois.edu.
Thanks for tuning in to The 21st. I'm Nyla Boudou. Thanksgiving is a week away. We've been helping you with food options all this hour, and we've been talking about the classic staples like turkey and mashed potatoes, stuffing, roasted vegetables, but everyone does it a little differently. Whether you're trying to change things up or bringing in some of your family's cultural traditions, next week I think I'm going to be making a family favorite of ours, which is turkey with a tamarind sauce, which is blends my family's Caribbean heritage with our favorite American holiday. What about you? Do you have a special Thanksgiving food story or unique family tradition you want to share? Give us a call. Our phone number is 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-9455. In studio with me is Louis Ligredonis, the owner of Grovestone in the Champaign-Urbana area. They've got, Louis, tell us a little bit about your shop, because you've got an amazing selection of olive oils and balsamic vinegars, among other things, including ice cream, which is my favorite part of your store. But tell us about everything that you offer.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me here. I'm excited to be here, Nyla. Yes, at our store, we have olive oils, we have balsamics, we have spices. All our spices are hand-blended at the store and bottled store. Our olive oils come from our family farms in Greece. They're brought here, and we hand-bottle everything here. Our balsamics all come from Modena, Italy. And we also infuse our own flavors into those balsamics as well.
So your family is Greek. And I asked you before you came in the studio, I was like, on what level is American Thanksgiving compared to, say, Easter for a Greek family in terms of food preparation?
Have you seen my big fat Greek wedding?
Yes, I
have. Okay, we'll multiply by 10. That's how it is.
That's your family's Thanksgiving?
That's how the holidays
are. Is it every Greek
house?
Family's Thanksgiving?
No, it's crazy. We start maybe at 5, 6, 7 in the morning to get the lamb on the spit.
So you have lamb. Do you have turkey too?
Of course.
Oh, so you have lamb and turkey.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the lamb gets started around 6 in the morning, and it's like a family ordeal. The guys are out there in the morning.
So you're doing the lamb outside in a pit.
Yeah.
So how do you do that?
Oh, we have a pit. We have a custom-made pit just for the whole lamb.
Okay.
And we season it. You know, we have our secret seasonings. Actually, we sell them at our store at Grovestone.
The secret seasoning. Okay. You can buy them if you're in our Champaign. Okay.
but the festivities start, you know, early in the morning. You know, between my father and I, my brother, my aunts and uncles, or more of the guys' side, and we start drinking, and we start the festivities early in the morning, and then typically my mother and my aunts are inside. They're starting to bake, they're starting the turkeys, and it goes on all day long. We drink, we eat, we drink, we eat, and then we drink.
So your parents moved to the U.S. from Greece.
Yes.
So did you grow up celebrating Thanksgiving then? That's something your parents embraced when they got here?
They embraced any party or any holiday. So, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, my parents always say the reason they love Thanksgiving is they're like, it's just a holiday for giving thanks and food. It's the greatest American holiday because it's just about saying thank you to people.
Absolutely.
So how has your Thanksgiving changed over the years in terms of how you guys celebrate in terms of your food traditions? Has it?
It really hasn't. No, it's a family gathering. And, you know, that's really the most important part of all this. It's our family and friends. We gather. You know, we don't see each other often. You know, my parents live up north in the Chicagoland area. We're down here. We have family spread apart everywhere. So we all try to get together at Thanksgiving, and that's what it's really all about.
Mm-hmm. And then, so how many people are you guys cooking for then?
Typically, there's like maybe 20 to 30, but we cook for 100 people.
Oh, gosh.
That's the way it rolls. But there's festivities after Thanksgiving. You know, we have parties. The party actually lasts three or four days.
It's like a 3 or 4 day party.
Yeah. So
okay.
There's plenty of food.
So what kind of things do you do? So there's the lamb. Do you have rice? Like, are there also?
We do the traditional.
So you have all American. Okay. So you have mashed potatoes,
absolutely,
sweet potatoes.
Absolutely. All that. And then on top of that, we have the lamb. We have our spanakopita. We have our meatballs. We have our pasticho, which is a Greek lasagna. We have all my mother bakes the bread with her hands and fists from scratch. You know, we were talking about weed earlier.
Right.
But yeah, no, there's a lot.
And then I'm thinking about when we're thinking, I was just thinking about Tracy sharing a recipe of the vegetables and just sprinkling it with a little olive oil. How do you all use olive oil in Thanksgiving for your Thanksgiving?
And everything and anything. I mean, listen, I mean, everything does get it. And and that's one of our secret ingredients is the olive oil. And it doesn't take a whole lot, but just with any cooking, you know, forget the recipe. It's all about the ingredients. As long as you have very minimal, like she said, I was listening in, good, fresh ingredients, you don't need a whole lot.
So we're talking about family traditions, food traditions, how you incorporate other cultural traditions into your Thanksgiving. If you want to share with us, you can give us a call. We've got a couple minutes left to take folks' calls. It's 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-9455. I think, Louie, you will offer lamb cooking advice if people want to do that. That's a very – Louie, I bet you could give people some advice if you have questions. Our phone number again is 1-800-222-9455. You can also tweet to 21ST Show. So do you roast the turkey's roasted in the oven, the lamb is
That's
on
right.
the spit. Okay. And so, and then you basically, I mean, I guess everybody's cooking. Do you cook, what do you prepare ahead of time versus what do you make that day?
I don't do anything.
You don't do anything?
All I do, I'm in charge with my father, is the lamb. Everything else.
So the men are in charge of the lamb and then the women do everything else?
Well, no, I have an uncle who likes to be in the kitchen as well.
Okay.
But for the most part, you know, and it's just an excuse to be outside and just hang out, you know, have a bonding time with my father.
Even if it's cold? Because it's going to be pretty cold this year.
You know, plans may change this year because it's much colder than it has ever been. My dad, I was just talking to my dad on the phone this morning. He's like, you know, we may just have to roast some legs of lamb this year. I don't know if we'll be able to cook
it. To do this pit outside with snow.
So, yeah, so we'll wait till the last minute whether we will or not.
So how do you do the lamb in the – so do you have a pit? Do you put – what do you put in the pit for smoking it or whether – chips, wood chips, what is it? There's charcoal?
We use charcoal.
Okay.
We use charcoal, and there's a little motor. We put the lamb on, it's not a stick, but it's a metal rod, and it just turns.
Like a rotisserie?
Exactly. And okay. we just leave it for about 4 or 5 hours.
Okay. 1-800-222-9455. 1-800-222-9455 is our number. Louis, I wonder if people might be thinking about wanting to change up their routine. Maybe they don't want to necessarily do stuffing or other things. What are some, did you have any advice for folks?
If you want to change up your routine, the best thing to do is your ingredients. Again, come by the store at Grove Stone or even visit GroveStone.com. We have a lot of ideas. We send out through our emails, if you sign up, different recipes, ways you can use the ingredients and spices we have. Like I said, we bottle them fresh at the store. So they're fresh, and you know, utilizing the fresh oils and the fresh vinegars.
Yeah, and to Tracy's point too about the vegetables, right? When you have when you start with really fresh ingredients, you don't necessarily need to maybe dress them up that much.
No, you really don't.
1-800-222-9455 if you want to share your Thanksgiving traditions. Let's go to Rockford and Ronit. Hi, Ronit. Welcome to the 21st. Happy Thanksgiving.
Really need to. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Ronit, what?
Hello?
Yeah, hi. Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Great. What Thanksgiving tradition did you want to share with us?
So we've had to modify our Thanksgiving traditions a little bit over the years. First of all, we have some vegetarians. So I usually make a vegetable quiche.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Because I refuse to do tofurkey, because if you're not eating meat, you're not eating meat. So why make something that tastes like meat? So, and then we're also Israeli and Jewish, so I make matzo ball soup.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And the funny thing is, the people that ask for it are the ones that aren't Jewish. So, because I also make a butternut squash soup, which is vegetarian. So.
Oh, wow. That sounds great. So matzo ball soup. I love that one. Thanks for that, Ronit. I appreciate that. 1-800-222-9455 if you want to share your stories as well. Do you guys do a soup, Louis?
Yes. And it's called an avgol lemon soup. It's basically a chicken noodle creamy soup.
Right, with lemon.
I'm like, now as we were talking about, I can't wait to have it. But yeah, you know, in most...
Is that a long... I feel like I've always been intimidated to make that because it seems like it's a complicated soup.
It's not.
So what is it?
It's basically chicken soup
with lemon and cream.
With lemon and yeah, with cream. But no, it's not very difficult. It's very easy. You know, but going back to the vegetarian, the most of everything we eat is vegetarian as far as the Greek Mediterranean, you know, when you hear the Mediterranean.
Right, spinacopita.
Yeah, I mean, it's all, most of it is, most of the stuff we eat is vegetarian. Now, the reason we make lamb a big deal, because typically you only have it once a year or twice a year.
Right, you have it at Easter.
Yeah, so it's not, right. So that's why we make it a big deal, because typically we don't eat meat. It's so...
1-800-222-9455. We're going to try to get to a couple of these calls before we end here. Let's go to Dan. Hi, Dan. Where are you calling from?
Ivesdale.
Hi. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I usually cook every year. I did when I had family. Now I'm just an old divorced guy and with dogs. I still cook every year, and I was going to skip this year. I usually have leftovers, you know, and me and my dogs, we get to pick out all winter long, pull stuff out of the freezer. I wasn't going to, but, you know, after listening to y'all this morning, I'm going to cook this year.
Oh, good, we love you. It. That's so great, Dan. Thanks
y'all
for
got me
sharing
motivated,
that.
So thank you very much.
Thank you.
You have a happy Thanksgiving.
You Take too, care. Dan, to you and the dogs. Louie, what would you say for people who haven't grown up with a family that's like, they don't have a huge family that's cooking and they're not cooking with 20 people every Thanksgiving or they're intimidated, what advice would you give them to start off?
Well, I could tell you from friends, you know, I've had friends who've had asked me the same thing. Just, you don't have to be a cook to cook, right? There's nothing wrong with a little trial and error and have fun with it. Invite friends. It's all about the social gathering. That's what I tell everybody, whether it's family or friends. It's all about getting together, having fun, you know, cooking a good meal. And if not, that's okay, too, if it doesn't turn out right. It's all about that social gathering.
So I know it sounds like you've loved food all of your life. You've grown up around food. What is it like to work in food professionally? Because this is a pretty new venture for you, Grovestone, right?
Yeah, we started Grovestone about 2 years ago, but as far as the olive growing part of it, I don't even know how far back it goes.
With your family.
Yeah, my grandmother's from the island of Crete, and there is a tree where she, not too far where she grew up from, they estimate it to be over 4,500 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
And they think it's the oldest tree in the world. So the olive trees have always been around in our family. So when I tell people it could be thousands of years, they look at me cross-eyed, But yeah, no, this is I'm doing what I love. I've had other businesses in the past, but this is what I've always wanted to do, and I'm very fortunate and I'm in a position to do so.
Last question for you. We've been talking so much about Greek cuisine. Are there cuisines outside your own that you enjoy trying or experimenting with? And I imagine this is maybe outside of Thanksgiving.
Oh, I love Chinese food and I love Mexican food. I mean, those are the two I go to. But I can't do one. I switch them up every so often. But yeah, those are the two.
Well, happy Thanksgiving,
Louis. Thanksgiving to you.
Legridonis. I didn't
Leah Gridonis.
There we go. Leah Gridonis is the owner of Grovestone in Champaign. If you want to check them out, as he said, online as well. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate it. That does it for us today. We'll gather. We've got a lot of information we've shared on the show today. You can always go to our website, to 21stshow.org. That's where we archive past shows. We collect all of the tweets and all that information as well, and that'll be in today's show story. So if you go to 21stshow.org, you can see today's program, especially if there are things that you want to think about. If you want to leave us a voicemail, if you want to send us an email, or if you want to follow us on social media, that's all at our website, too. Our Twitter handle is 21stshow. We live tweet during the program with more analysis and background about what we're talking about. When we're not on the air, You can follow us for the latest in Illinois news. On our Facebook page, if you search for the 21st to like us, that's another way to comment on what we're working on or post questions or comments that you'd like us to ask on air. And if you have, by the way, a smartphone and you like apps, the NPR One app is a great way to find our program. You download that from wherever you get your smartphone apps. You can find past shows that way. You download it, set your home station, wherever you're listening, and then you can search for the 21st to follow us and easily listen to past shows that way. We're produced by Libby Foster, Robin Lynn, and Alan Montesilio. Vishesh Anand is our intern. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Scott Cameron is our executive editor. Special thanks to the band Public Access for our theme music. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Nyla Boodoo. Thanks for listening. We'll be here all next week, so have a great weekend.